Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, in his den is from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. And Rich, winter racing has arrived and so has winter in Melbourne, although you're sitting up there in Sydney, probably a lot warmer than I am.
Mate, it's desperately cold here. My wife sent me a text message last night. We're in the same house. I was upstairs. She was downstairs. She sent me a text saying, look, the wind chill factor is actually 7. It feels like 7 degrees. So it's pretty cold up here, mate. Are you in the same boat there? If you're in the same house as your wife and you can't bother to walk anywhere,
my wife actually still doesn't mind talking to me, but it's good to know that your wife and I have a little bit in common that we don't really want to converse with you, but we get paid to do it here on .com and Den Monday. So
my wife might argue she's the same. So yeah. Anyway, interesting start to the show.
I don't live in an expansive mansion like your good self. On that note, let's get stuck in to the Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
Well, Group 1 racing arrived in Brisbane on the weekend, Rich, and, well, Sunshine in Paris was due. And not because she's a non-winner who's always been doing better. She's just been so stiff when it comes to barrier draws and getting the right run. She still didn't draw great in the Doom and 10,000, but she had the best jockey in the land aboard. She had plenty of punters' hard-earns on her, and she managed to see off the old boy Rothfire right there, as you can see, and what a run that was from the Robert Heathcote star.
Yeah, well, she's the best horse in the race. I think that's why she won. She, you know, dropping grade from the races that she's been in over the autumn. And yesterday, well, not yesterday, Saturday was her day. Great ride by J-Mac. Rothfire was super exciting. Payline as well. Payline was, I think they bet nearly as much as 100-1. And Chris Munt said he's never seen a better 100-1 shot going into a Group 1 race. And he was correct. They had a big day, Team Munts. I heard Corey Munts on the radio this morning. Speaks very well for a young man. He's going places as well. But just on Sunshine in Paris, she's going to get tipped out now. And she'll be headed towards another Everest. Of course, John Camilleri, the only, has a slot. And you'd imagine they'd probably follow the same path as last time into the Chiraco. And then probably straight into the Everest, which is usually about 5 weeks after that.
You say it was a drop in class for Sunshine in Paris. It wasn't. It was still a Group 1 race, but I know exactly what you mean. It was, and people have questioned the quality of this Group 1, but the fact is that while we're going to have as many Group 1s as we do in this country, then there's going to be easier Group 1s than others. And this was, for all intents and purposes, a pretty moderate Group 1. And Sunshine Paris, as you said, best horse in the race. Annabelle Archibald was indeed very confident going in and got the job done. So, yeah, look, she is. And Rayman pointed this out on Moody on the Mic, which, as you know, I always refer to that show on this show and vice versa because it's called Cross Promotion Punters. But he said to Annabelle when she was on our show last week that she is probably the most underrated sprinter in the land. She isn't far off that top echelon. Yeah. She may be in that top echelon.
And, I think she's. I mean, she won the champion sprint. She won it, like, that was a stacked field. She's very, very good. As you say, she's just drawing wide barriers and, you know, but, yeah, I think that on her day she's absolutely up there and could win any sprint race in Australia.
Yeah, and for J-Mac in terms of on board, that was his 14th Group 1 of the season, 16 is the record. So he's got, I think, 5 Group 1s to go in the Queensland Carnival. So he's got a chance to break that record by Miracle Mel. And then, of course, he's closing in on Ollie's record, which hasn't stood for overly long, but that there's no doubt in anyone's mind he's going to beat it.
So that's the Australian record, is it? Because that doesn't include the ones that he's ridden overseas. Is that how that works?
Yeah, so 129 is Ollie's record, and J-Mac is on 117.
17, so, yeah. But you also, when you said the 14, that's the Group 1 winners he's run in Australia.
That's in Australia this season.
Not including, because he would have won a couple over in Hong Kong and maybe other places as well.
That's right. So that is an Australian record. So the best in the land is doing his absolute best to break all the records. And yeah, once he does, well, who knows what's less. Let's move on, though, because there was a golden ticket on an offer at Flemington on the weekend. And what a great little stable the Emma Lee and David Brown yard is becoming. They are seriously punching above their weight. Statuario ran second in the SA Derby the other week. So on the third line of betting for the Queensland Derby. We'll take a look at that market shortly, actually. And they've got the promising young sprinter, McGaw, who won the $1 million showdown not too long ago. Now they've got a Melbourne Cup runner. Well, they've got the golden ticket into the race, and that is the Oaks place getter in Basilina. Now, there's a lot of water to the bridge before the first Tuesday in November, but this horse is in the race should she take her place.
Yeah, you can see a pretty dominant win there. Glentaneous and also Ferneo coming on as well. They were pretty solid runs as well, but all honours to the winner. Berkshire Breeze was a little disappointing. Had a pretty hard run, was caught, you know, wide most of the way.
The ground didn't do a lot of them many favours, though. That was
a tough track, a factor for
plenty there. And but still, Basilena handled the ground. You never know what you get. That's the thing about Melbourne. Flemington in Cup Week, it could be 35 degrees or 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wet.
And interesting story. So she's... Basilena's out of a $500 mare. So the Browns bought a $500 mare at, I think it was on the Gavel, that Gavel bloodstock thing. And that's what Basilena came out of. Pretty happy about that. And other interesting twist is I heard that they were going to sell her at the English Chairman sale, which was earlier in the month. They decided not to. So it's a big swing for them. They've now got a runner in the Melbourne Cup and haven't sold her. She's probably more valuable than she was.
And what, just $500 at a? I mean, you can get pissed at a sporting
mare, Basilena. Yeah.
But you could buy a bloody St Kilda signed Guernsey for more than $500. Wouldn't have increased in value like Basilena has. But
no. And just before we close off that, bit of talk earlier in the week that, you know, should the Andrew Ramsden be here? Should we have a golden ticket race this far out for the Melbourne Cup? I'm a big proponent for him. I think they add a bit of excitement, gets a bit dreary and a bit boring during winter. I thought it sort of livened up the day at Flemington on Saturday. And the other argument too is if, you know, we don't have these kind of races, then you don't have that many local horses. And then everyone starts whinging, saying, well, hang on, isn't the Melbourne Cup shouldn't really be for Australian horses as well? So I wouldn't change anything. And I heard the chairman of the VOC on the radio last week saying they have no plan to change the structure around the Andrew Rams. And I think that's a good thing. Anything to add there, Rog?
Oh, I just thought you'd probably be wondering if maybe they
could
sell it.
You're going to go there again, aren't you?
Yeah, they could sell it to an international runner and see how much they can
start getting new material, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, why not run with the tried and tested, the winners, you know? Sir Delius could be heading toward Melbourne Cup. He was a very expensive horse to buy and bring out from France, given his Group 1 place there, ran midfield in an Arc de Triomphe. I think it was over $2 million, and it'll take a bit to win that money back. But he's on his way. He picked up $116,000 for Connections, winning the Group 3 Chairman's Handicap at Doomben on Saturday. So he potentially will run again in the Q22, but the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups are his ultimate aim.
Yeah. See, there you thought Floating kicked the lead, and you thought, oh, maybe that Sir Delius is going to win. But no, there was Sir Delius came up the inside and won pretty easily in the end. I think, generally speaking, people were pretty impressed. There's Adrian Bott on the screen. I heard him after the race saying the Q22 is probably the target now. The Waterhouse Bot team like to race their horses, so I'd imagine they'd push towards that. And then
that's been a good form race too, Rich. Don't forget. Well, Zucky won it. The Cat of Fight won it.
It's and Faulkner Park won it last year.
Yeah.
And, but it's a good talking point, isn't it? Like, there seems to be a bit of a pattern going on here that people are targeting this late autumn, early winter Queensland racing to get horses ready for the Melbourne Cup, Caulfield Cup, that kind of thing.
And I presume that it's because they have a little tip out, not a long spell, just a little let up, and that's because, and then they go into the spring carrying residual fitness.
That's it. It's got to be it. Yeah. And they bought this house for $2.7 million off Coolmore. If you're going to buy horses off Coolmore, you've got to pay pretty big. I think it's Lady of Camelot's colours, isn't it? I think it's Sir Owen Glenn is one of the owners as well. So, yeah. Got a nice horse. We bet up on it. It was one of our better bets from the Saturday set. Fizzer early in the week said, Sir Delius, get all over that. And you've got to remember too that first up over 2,000 metres, you know, that doesn't happen much in Australia. People are starting to do it more. It's very much a European way of training, isn't it?
No, well done. You found a $1.65 pop.
$2.60 when we found it.
There's a few deductions in that race from memory.
Yeah, well, Immediacy came out, didn't it?
I liked Immediacy and it came out. So that was a fairly big hit in terms of deductions. Hey, while we're on the subject of Melbourne Cup horses, Brett Preble nearly won a Melbourne Cup a few years ago on Incentivise. He did win a Caulfield Cup that year on that very same horse. He, of course, hung up the whip last year. And now he can sit back and watch his progeny fire on the racetrack, because young Thomas Preble won his first stakes race with victory in the straight six of all title fighter for Clayton Douglas, who was a winner at Bendigo two starts ago, was luckless in the Wongerm at Warrnambool, and probably shouldn't have gone around 60-1. Not that I found him at all, but it's like when, like I say every week, we look at everything in hindsight and you go, geez, how did he go around 60-1? And why didn't I get on? But he was very good. King Zephyr was the big disappointment. He looked the good thing on the program, but he certainly was not.
Yeah, I think he'd won four straight coming into that race. Didn't handle the going at all, probably just coming to the end of his run. You've got to say he's disappointed. He was back from 1,400 to 1,200. Nothing went right for him, and I saw Graham Begg announce that he'll go to the paddock now. They'll bring him back for the spring, and they think he's still got a bit of work to go through his grades. You know, there's probably a few more benchmark races before he goes to, I guess, you know, the group level, if he can get there. There was talk of him going the Stradbroke, but that's obviously put on the back burner after his disappointing run. But yeah, great win by title fighter. Tom Preble seems like he's got a very good head on his shoulders. And away he goes. He's quite big though. He's quite tall. I saw him standing next to his dad. He'd be 10 or 15 centimetres taller than his dad. So I wonder if that's going to be an issue for him.
Dad's very small though.
Yeah.
I think title fighter was out at about 100-1 on the exchange too. So sure. Yeah, good luck. Mind you, as we'll touch on, he cooked the book with Thomas Hackett from Ladbrokes. Just about everything that won on the weekend was 60-1, 100-1. The quaddies were extraordinary. Politely Done was another double-figure winner on the Flemington program, but it was only like $13, which was basically a shorty. A nice winner too. He'll head to Queensland and have a crack
at the
Derby.
Look how far back it is. Just pointed out to everyone, Rog, there. See, it's back in sort of the bluey-black colours, black and white check sleeve. It's going to really rock it into the race now. Take it away again, mate. Sorry about that. I just wanted to point out to people.
No, that's all right. I was actually going to point it out and then realise that that wouldn't make a shit of difference, because I'd just be pointing at the screen and that doesn't work, literally pointing. But yes, this is a horse who hasn't quite measured up when in better company so far, but he'll get a crack now, and who knows, he could thrive up in Queensland and be hitting their peak while the others are maybe at the end of their preparation. So it's a very winnable derby, and Politely Done, I think, is well in the market as well.
Yep. I don't have a whole lot more to add. I think we can move on to the Rough Habit, which is another lead-up derby race. Have a look at what happened there, and then we can collate all this information and also see where Politely Done sits in at the market.
Yes, we'll get the supercomputer out to assess all this. Chris Waller does not send too many 60-1 pops around in stakes races, or the market generally doesn't let a Waller runner go around at that price. He had two win at the weekend. Summer Flame won the listed race at Scone at 60-1, and then Imperialist here grabbed the Group 3 Rough Habit in a very rough result for punters. And a few of the more fancied runners who finished behind him are still considered much better chances when they get out to that derby trip in a couple of weeks. But that was an impressive win, and certainly didn't win like a 60-1 pop.
How has the punting nation let that happen, Rog? How have we let two 60-1 Chris Waller trained horses go around and win? But
You know the worst thing? Mm-hmm. The other one, Summer Flame, Philly, owned by Rosemont. Mytho gave it a bit of a push.
Really?
Did I get on? Well, he also gave a push for Lockyer racing up at Doomben at 80-1. I had a bit on that and it got scratched, and then completely forgot about Summer Flame. So,
Completely your own fault.
Well, I've had a shocker, as I think 99% of punters in the country had on the weekend.
Yeah, it was a tough day, wasn't it? And Belle Dattel and Firm Agreement were the strong favourites coming into that race. Both were pretty disappointing. Firm Agreement, I was listening to Rob Archibald on the radio this morning, said no real explanation, didn't handle the going that well. They were disappointed in his run. He should be able to, he'd been going so well in much less races before that. But they'll push on to the Derby, maybe
that's get a better track.
Yeah, that's right. And, they were disappointed. Belle Dattel, I thought too, was a little bit disappointing. Seems like she's going to push on to the Derby as well. And of course, she could go to the Oaks if she wanted to, but
yeah, well, there'll be a couple of those, won't there? I think Feminile is probably going to go to the Derby as well. So, and we've seen, as we know, Philly, Aliana won the ATC Derby, Feminile won the SA Derby. So we're seeing the Phillies dominate the Derbies so far this year. So why can't it continue? We'll take a look at the market and see where they are situated in it. And Belle Dattel is the $6 favourite alongside King of Thunder. Statuario, the SA Derby runner-up for Emily and David Brown, $8. And then you've got Feminile at 11's. Firm Agreement there at $15 with Imperialist and Maison Louis, who I liked on the weekend, progressive type, see how he fares in the Derby.
Yeah, the market seems pretty accurate to me. I certainly wouldn't be Belle Dettel. Hard to butter up to $6 after how
she
went on.
Let's be honest. This is one where you stick the market on the wall and throw a dart and hope for the best.
Get the kids to throw a dart at it. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to. Oh, God, I don't want my kids throwing a dart. Their coordination's not a strong point there. Mm. Might end up with it in the eye. The Preakness was the feature race on the weekend in the US. So this is the second leg of the US Triple Crown.
Yep, here it and, is. So just point that it's about fourth in between those two horses in the sort of brownie colours. Oh, Trillmet's going to stop it for us. Isn't that fancy? Okay, so you can see the horse with the yellow cap laying in badly. And
getting sandwiched.
Again. Getting sandwiched. Roll it again, Trill. Gets completely poleaxed. You would think, so of course we're talking about Journalism, who won the race. Coolmore owned horse, was favourite for the Kentucky Derby. And even here you'd think, okay, it's going to run on a credible second. And then look at this, just absolutely savages the line. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Gets there. Huge win. Reminded me of Lonro in the, was it the 2005 Australian Cup?
Yeah.
When he got poleaxed. And this is just some head-on footage as well, just to reinforce. Here it is here. Boom! That's
the first time I've actually seen that, Rich. Yep. That's extraordinary, and that is the first time. And I say this as someone who's in the profession that journalism has paid.
Outstanding. The first time ever. That's a good one, Rog.
But that's extraordinary to get that sort of contact and then be able to regather and push on and show that turn of foot at the end.
Yeah. So I presume he will go on to the third leg.
Let's go now to the Stewart Speed Round.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
All right, a couple of suspensions and reprimands for careless riding, but none of the big name jockeys. If you're wondering if the horse you backed at Doomben had issues, there's only a couple. Race one, Shiab, lame in the near four. Race three, So Naive, had cardiac arrhythmia, so that needs a vet clearance and has to gallop in the presence of stewards. At Flemington, Billy Egan copped a suspension for excessive whip use in race seven at seven meetings. And then in terms of horses, Harry's Yacht was lame. That's out of race one. Lovazoo in race three refused to load. So yes, there's two consecutive jump outs to race again. Fast Check hung out, gets a warning in race five. And in race nine, Fortune pulled up with a cardiac arrhythmia and also needs a vet clearance. That was the Steward Speed Round.
Cook the book.
All right, time for Cook the Book now. And unfortunately, King Zone isn't here, so Rich is filling in yet again. Tom Hacker joins us from Ladbrokes. And Tom, the book was not cooked. The book fried everyone on the weekend. It was an extraordinary day. We can see that you're currently in your car, which it doesn't look like a Lamborghini, but I'd imagine that everyone at Ladbrokes is getting one or two of those cars, giving them out to them today or tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I will say it was a good day for the book, but I think if you were looking at raw prices and you saw that spate of long shots getting the job done, I think it's probably not as a bigger fill up for the book as you'd probably suspect. I think the perfect indication of that was the Melbourne Cup last year when the winner pays 100-1 and ends up being an enormous loser for us. I'm not saying it was that case on Saturday, but probably not as big a fill up as you might have imagined. Although I will say Flemington, that was a confirmed fill-up for the book.
Yes, and we'll get to the quaddies toward the back end. But so let's start with Doomben, Sunshine in Paris, because she was a well-backed commodity in the Doomben 10,000. There was the J-Mac tax, so she started fairly short, but she was the best horse in the race. She was back like it. She won like it. She didn't win like it because, you know, there was Rothfire there. But I'd imagine that was a bad result for Ladbrokes.
It was a losing result, Sunshine in Paris, but certainly not a strip out, a losing result of around the $100,000 mark. So while she was a favourite, she certainly wasn't necessarily truckloaded with us. There was money around for a few other horses. There was a big tip around about Hidden Wealth for Tony Golan. So that was comfortably our worst result in the race, would have been a losing result of around $400,000. And then you did see a bit of money spread around the field as well. So while Sunshine in Paris was favourite, it wasn't a particularly overly well-backed one.
And Chris Munts earlier in the day said that Payline was the best 100-1 chance he's seen in a Group 1. Did you find that filtered through and people backed him with you?
A little bit of money around for Payline. We had a Ladbrokes hosted pot going for the day, and the hosted pot found Payline each way. So that was a good result. The punters got very excited with about 100 to go when Payline thought it might factor in the finish. But I think maybe Chris Munts had a big opinion of it, but it's going to be an interesting form race to follow going forward now, the Ladbrokes Doomben 10,000. They finish in a bunch. You've got Payline finishing a very close third at massive odds. It's generally not the the signal for an overly strong form race going forward. So that'll be interesting heading into a race like the Kingsford Smith Cup, where you will have a little bit of fresh blood, whether the market will gravitate towards what is traditionally the strongest lead up, which is the Ladbrokes Doomer 10,000, or whether the fresh form will be prioritised because of that factor.
Would have been interesting if the Ladbrokes pot found payline and the reason that Ladbrokes book got stripped was its own pot. That would have been quite amusing.
Well, I did do that. I have done that, Rog, when we found Joker's grin in the clocker. So, no, it would just be just to continue the hot form we've had with the hosted pods. Both Wolf Dan, Ladbrokes, everyone's winning with the hosted pods at the moment. It's good. It's a tracking product.
People love pot. Annabelle had a well-backed favourite in race four at Doomben in Elmavere. It bombed, and I think it was about 420 into 260 and was nowhere near it. I dare say that was a good result.
Yeah, well, that was a proper go. Sometimes with those big shorteners late, we don't necessarily see all the money filter through, but we certainly did there. It was would have been a losing result of close to $400,000, which is big for what was one of the earliest earlier races on the card. So that was a good result. Brookhaven for the informed Chris Munt stable got the job done. Was a nice little winning result for the book there.
Liberami in the last at Flemington, that was one of only two favourites to win it at headquarters. That was a big go too. And I imagine that was punters trying to blast out after the hemorrhaging that had happened in the first eight races.
Yeah, it was a losing result for the book, but only around about $150,000. So for a favourite in the last, that's not as bad as you probably would have suspected, particularly with the way that the market did shorten like that. So my philosophy, I think my theory is that the punters at Flemington were out of cash. They didn't have any money to blast out in the last because the results had gone against them in those earlier races. So now losing result there at Flemington with Liberami, but certainly not enough for the punters to finish in front at Flemington. It was very tough going there throughout the day.
Yeah, well, hopefully they gambled responsibly and set a deposit limit, and that's why they couldn't reload there in the last time. If it had been Pikey in the last, I dare say they would have found a few. The quaddies, which we touched on earlier, so the Melbourne quaddie paid 166. Scone paid 175,000. We were staring there at the estimates for Flemington on Saturday, and I think that was the shortest way home was 166, and there was a few 1.7 millions there too. Was there some nervous moments on the trading floor just in case one of those roughies got up, or was it a skinner for the book regardless?
Yeah, it is always a nervous moment in that scenario because you only need one essentially to get home. If one punter's got that big quaddy, then it almost ruins what's been a big day. So no, it was some interesting quaddy legs. I think King Zephyr was very well backed. It was our lay of the day. The trading team were keen to take the horse on, and that ended up being a big result. Title Fighter, one of our best results of the race. So that was the biggest result of the day. Title Fighter, a winning result of just over $500,000 for the book.
And so did anyone get the quaddy with you guys? I know it only paid 166,000, but did any of the Ladbrokes punters salute there?
Yeah, we did have a few punters that did get the quaddy. So well played to those punters. I'm assuming they took on King Zephyr and took the field in the straight six. That's the only way I can think you could have found it. But yeah, just about punters, they find a way sometimes, don't they?
With a field job. That's how they find a way at this time of year. Tom, thank you very much for your time. We'll let you get back to the luxury suite that's become your office after the weekend, and we'll chat to you next week.
Sneak peek.
All right, let's get to this Saturday because we are racing at Sandown. And look, after the wipeout we had at Flemington on the weekend for punting, Sandown is one of the best punting tracks you will get. So winter, it's real winter racing in Victoria, Richard, when you get them running at Sandown at the end of May. And we've got Group 1 racing in Queensland, where I will be this weekend. Thankfully, hopefully it's warmer up there than Melbourne. I dare say it will be. The Doomben Cup is on. Let's take a look at the market. And Antino, coming off that magnificent win in the Hollandale, is an equal favourite with Pride of Jenny, who's also coming off a last start win, albeit in lesser grade. Buckaroo, $5. Are you still keen on Buckaroo, or are you a bit off after that last run?
Oh, I wouldn't be diving into the $5. I think Fox Park at $8, I'm still pretty happy about that.
Well, Annabelle's is a Group 1 winner in the waiting. So, And Alias at $11. I was really keen Alias last start. It was a bit disappointing, but so were a few horses coming out of that race. And most of them do go around here in the Doomben Cup. We've also got some key racing over there in Hong Kong yet again, Richard.
Yeah, one of the big races over there each year is the Champions and Chater Cup. You can see up on the screen now. A battle for the staying crown. You've got Dubai Honor taking on Voyage Bubble. Of course, we know Dubai Honor well. And we know Voyage Bubble well because J-Mac always rides it, and it got beat on Champions Day, didn't it? Was it Red Lion was the name of the horse that Huey
It was Red Lion, yep. Yep, about 101.
And Rebel's Romance won this race last year. That's that good horse from the Godolphin Yard who some say is one of the better horses in the world. It's not going around this year. But, yeah, it's always a good race, and I'll be watching it on Sunday afternoon in between, flicking between the footy games.
Yep. Of course, you can get all that racing on racing.com. A nice short, sharp show for us today, Rich, and we've only got a few more episodes to go before we take our little winter break as well. We'll head toward the Stradbroke Handicap and then have a bit of a sojourn. So we're reaching the end of season two of Dotcom and the Den Mondays, but we hope you enjoy it and we will see you next week.
Take it easy, everyone. Up the Den. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.